Blog Talk Radio.
Think of the line Jim Belushi laid out in the movie The Last Action Hero when he said, Arnold really turns around and I just want to be there when it happens. So right now, Olivia Newton-John set it up. We just want to be there now that you guys are ready to go. So it's another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I am your host, Rick Goreski, and we are continuing our Best of the Best series tonight, our sixth podcast in this series, which will focus on the defensive lineman and defensive back positions. Before we go any further, as my friend in high school used to say, go no further, we need to welcome in my co-hosts for this Best of the Best series. First, he is a man who introduces people who need no introduction. He is the owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Mr. Steve Wellman. Welcome
Good
to the
evening.
Doghouse, partner.
Thank you.
As a public service message, I feel the need to say that Steve Wellman calls in for these shows. He doesn't physically tape these at my house, so if the ladies outside could please, you know, please go home. He's not here. I'm really sorry. You're freaking my wife out. But I have to send the Steve Wellman fan club home.
Yeah, I'm broadcasting from my private jet right now. We should be landing in about 35 minutes, so just after the show ends.
Well, speaking of celebrities, well-sought-after young men, also with me tonight is the man who exhaled in relief when Darth Vader told Luke Skywalker that he indeed was his father. He is the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Koch. Step into
Thank
the doghouse here, Brian.
Yeah,
as you can
Thank
see,
you
we have a picture of a bunch of mutts playing poker in here. All right, well, hey, before we dive in, this is the spot where I normally remind the audience of our ground rules. Today, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. And I know Steve wants me to review these rules, but I say the ground rules are in podcast one, in two, episode three, four, five. I'm not telling everybody again that we're going to review the rosters as they are today and that we realize guys will make moves at the auction, which may change our minds about who we think is best at each position. I'm just not going to tell everybody that. I'm not going to do it. I'm done with that. I'm not going to say that we're going to tell it like it is, like Jesse Ventura, even if I love saying that. Even if I want to tell you that we're not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, I'm not going to say it. So go ahead and torpedo me and paint me as a bad guy because I'm not going to say all that. So you got
well,
my back for
not saying
that, all right. That, right, Steve?
Yeah. Way to get around it.
No problem, man. Like we agreed, I'm not going to say that. So let's get at it. Let's start with defensive linemen. I think it's important for us to frame the status or value of defensive linemen in Mad Dog before we start going through the different, who we like and who we think are the best of the best. Defensive linemen overall, they don't score a lot. I think they're probably collectively the lowest scoring position out of all the different positions that we have in Mad Dog. With that said, we do start two every week, so they are valuable, especially the better guys, the higher scoring defensive linemen. I think it's quality over quantity for this position. What's your take on the defensive, the status slash value of defensive linemen in Mad Dog, Steve?
Well, that is one of the few positions where you want to match up against your opponent. And you need to have guys that score above your opponent, with one guy an exception, of course, J.J. Watt, who probably will score over his opponent's defensive ends and wide receivers and running backs and probably the quarterback sometimes. But in general,
Brian, you agree with that, Brian?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, you know, I go ahead and I look at the defensive ends as being some of your cornerstones in the league just because of the fact that, as Steve said, you need to go ahead and have that position outscore and outpace your opponent.
Steve, I didn't mean to jump. It looked like you maybe had a little bit more in the tank to talk about there.
Well, no, yeah, Brian summed it up very well. Thank you, Brian.
All right.
Well, you're welcome. Well, hey. Great minds think alike.
Indeed.
I'm going to puke.
let the other mind continue, Brian. Let the other mind continue.
All right. So, well, maybe I was thinking the same as everybody else out there. So here's the deal. For defensive linemen, let's recap who's on each team before we talk about who we like and don't like. First of all, Malicious Minds, Tom Buckle's team, has Adrian Claiborne from Atlanta, Carlos Dunlop, Cincinnati, Chris Long, St. Louis, and Sheldon Richardson of the Jets. We're moving over to You're in Trouble, has Dominic Easley, Vic Beasley, rookie from Atlanta, Cassius Campbell, and Jason Pierre-Paul. Looking over Ipswich United, they have Holly Nagata, Andre Branch of Jacksonville, Fletcher Cox, Philadelphia, Jerry Hughes of Buffalo, who was reclassified as a defensive end recently. Nice break for Ipswich. Charles Johnson of Carolina, Derek Shelby of Miami, Muhammad Wilkerson of the Jets, and Leonard Williams of the Jets. I believe they have the most. Ipswich has the most defensive linemen of anyone in the league. Trons has Aaron Donald and Gerald McCoy. Moving over to Bill Novak, downhill from here, second most in the league, I think, as far as sheer volume of defensive ends on their team. Mario Edwards, a rookie for Oakland. Randy Gregory, rookie Dallas. Cameron Haywood, veteran from Pittsburgh. Michael Johnson, back in Cincinnati. Demontre Moore, second-year player, I think, for the Giants, second or third year there. Robert Quinn of St. Louis and Oliver Vernon from Miami. Stoneform, my co-host here, his team, defensive linemen, they have Clinton McDonald, Corey Legit, and Rob Ninkovich. Ninkovich, a very nice pickup early on in our league, right, Steve, 2011, 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Lost in the sauce, Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey of Tennessee, Everson Griffin of Minnesota. Klingons around Uranus, that's Gar Nelson's team, has Ndamukong Suh, Michael Bennett, Mario Williams, who was reclassified as defensive end. Very nice break. Last four teams, show me your TD, Scott Phillips, Malcolm Brown of the Patriots, I believe he's a rookie, Marcel Darius, Eric Armstead of San Francisco, also a rookie, and Cameron Wake. And then we're over to Minotaurs, my other co-host today. Cornelius Carradine from San Francisco, I think a third-year player. Chandler Jones of New England, very nice pickup. Cedric Thornton of Philadelphia. Steven Twitt of Pittsburgh. Dream Team sporting Ezekiel Ansah, very nice young player. DeMarcus Lawrence, another very good young player. And Jock Smith of Tampa Bay. Ending it with my team, Crazy Seven, featuring Vinny Curry. Cameron Jordan, Ogadigizawa, and J.J. Watt. So, those are the teams. Why don't we start with you, Steve? Who are your top three?
I think my top is probably Ipswich. Lots of good solid guys, lots of good depth. So I like that one. I like downhill from here, very similar. I just think that Ipswich's guys have a step up on it. And third place, That's tough. You know, Klingons, they have a nice core. I have a nice core. You have the best guy. It's tough to figure out who number three is. I would have no comment on that one, I think. It's too close to call.
Brian, who do you have as your top three?
You know, to go ahead and kind of put this together as a whole unit, that's kind of hard because, you know, you got some of your top guys. You got the J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, Robert Quinn. But then when you go ahead and you start looking at the second and tier level guys, second and third and even the fourth level tiered out guys, that's where it can get really kind of hairy and a little sticky as far as just who outranks who. You know, so, I mean, if you have one of the top of the, you know, top of the cream there, J.J. Watt, you know, Rob Ninkovich, the Robert Quinn, you know, you can definitely be very competitive at that position. So I think anybody who has one of those players is going to be at top of the rankings or top of the list there.
Well, for my take, guys, I do want to mention that before I go to my top three, there are a lot of really good squads here. It's quality over quantity to me. And starting with Lost in the Sauce, I want to mention some honorable mentions here. They have Geno Atkins, who I hear is just a resurgence this year in training camp, Jarrell Casey from Tennessee, who put up some really good numbers last year, and Everson Griffin of Minnesota, who I think is fantastic. Those are three really good guys. If Tim could add a little bit of depth, maybe at the auction or something, we might be talking about his team as one of the better defensive end squads that are out there. And then also Tom Buckle's team, Malicious Minds, has a nice trio of linemen with Dunlop of Cincinnati, Richardson of the Jets, and Chris Long of the St. Louis Rams. Richardson's suspension does hurt, but Long and Dunlop are fantastic. And I also want to mention Gar Nelson's squad, Mario Williams, Ndamukong Suh, Michael Bennett. If Gar had a youngster or two in there, again, he'd add to that very good veteran nucleus, and I'd be pushing him up towards the top three. But for now, I'm just going to throw out honorable mention on those guys. My top squad is Bill Novak's downhill from here. That's my pick for best defensive lineman in the league. He's got arguably the second best defensive lineman in the league in Robert Quinn. Cameron Hayward of the Steelers puts up stats every single year. Michael Johnson back with the Bengals where he had his best years. Vernon Oliver is of Miami, steady a guy, rosterable guy. And then you look at the youth. He's got Mario Edwards, who might start this year in Oakland. He's got Randy Gregory, who, troubles aside, has the talent to be a stud defensive lineman in the future. And then he tops it off with Demontre Moore of the Giants, who could find himself starting in the next year or two. So I think Bill's my top choice. Second best, I've got Andy's Ipswich United. Ipswich helped out greatly when Jerry Hughes of Buffalo was reclassified to defensive lineman. Muhammad Wilkerson is as good as it gets. You toss in Fletcher Cox and Holly Nagata. Shelby from the Dolphins. I like Andre Branch a lot, a former high draft pick for Jacksonville. I'm not big on Charles Johnson, but Andy has, not anymore at least, but Andy has the monster-esque Leonard Williams from the Jets as a young rookie waiting in the wings to take over when Johnson retires. So he's got quality from top to bottom. There isn't a top five guy there, but that's my only criticism, and everybody can't have a top five guy. And third, I'm going to nominate my team, Crazy Seven, and the joke reason I do that is J.J. Watt. I could have only J.J. Watt, and I think my team might make the top three because Watt's just that good. The guy scores like a quarterback at a position where the rest of the guys are scoring like fullbacks. And I do have Cameron Jordan from the Saints, and I have Vinny Curry of the Eagles to go with my rookie, Odigwuziwa. Try saying that one three times fast, eh? I want to beat my chest here by saying the one thing where I will actually take a bow and take some credit for is that I purchased both Watt and Jordan at the startup auction. And I also drafted Vinny Curry in 2012 and Odigizuwa this year. So all of my defensive linemen are homegrown. I don't have maybe one other player in my entire team left from the startup auction, but, man, I hit it right at D lineman.
Yeah, you did well. You did well.
But Watt, again, it's not an ego pick by putting myself up there. Watt's just, he scores like a quarterback. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like
there's
it.
There's no doubt about it, and that's why I thought it was too hard to pick a number three. I mean, you know, I look at my guys, and I've got two of the top 12. So, you know, that always plays in nicely. You've got, like you said, you got Gar, who's got some guys that could really put up some numbers. And then, you know, the only thing that separates those is, you know, who's going to step up and put up a bigger year than they did last time, in my opinion.
Shifting over to defensive backs. The defensive backs, if I could, guys, have always been in the mix as defensive starters in Mad Dog, but their value went up significantly when the league voted to increase scoring for defensive backs. So whereas defensive backs used to be filling the last few starting spots on a lineup and bench players, they're now actually good enough to be ones, twos, and threes. Would you agree, starting with Steve?
Yeah. I mean, when we talk about at our meetings how I'm one of those people that would like to see these guys required to start, it is true, you know, There's a lot of defensive backs that are better than your third and fourth option linebackers. So teams are starting to catch on to the fact that they have some value, even though they're not required to start.
Brian, do you want to give your take on the status or value of defensive backs in Mad Dog before we start talking about individual stables of defensive backs?
Sure. I mean, to go ahead and talk about it real quickly. I mean, it's kind of funny that when we first started off the league in 2011, my defensive line defensive backs were sitting at 11 people when we first started the league, and now I'm down to 5. And in year two, I wound up winning the championship with defensive backs versus linebackers as my main core defensive starting starts. It's just a real remarkable feeling to go ahead and see that pendulum has switched from where they used to be to where they are now. And obviously now it just has a little bit more heavier weight to their value.
You were the first guy to get on that train. I tell you that, the bandwagon on defensive backs. But if either you don't have anything else to add on that, I'm going to jump through and tell everybody about the different players at each position before we rank them.
Sure.
Malicious Minds, Tom, has Michael Griffin, Tennessee, Malcolm Jenkins, Philadelphia, and Bradley Roby. He did cut Charles Woodson. Had he re-signed Woodson, I think I might have had, that would have been some, I think he'd have had 3 of 4 guys over 200 points there. That would have been a really good stable, but we'll talk about that more in depth later. Over to You're in Trouble, who has Joe Hayden, Patrick Peterson, Eric Weddle. Moving to Tron's Pap Sixer has Janoris Jenkins from the Rams. Ipswich features Brandon Flowers, D'Angelo Hall, Deion Buchanan of Arizona, James Iadigbo, Kendrick Lewis, who is with Baltimore. You've got William Moore, Earl Thomas, and then we're moving over to the next team, which is Stone Form Pallies, Morgan Burnett, Tashawn Gibson, TJ McDonald. Bill's team is sporting Devin McCourty from New England, Ron Parker, Kansas City, Artrell Roll from Chicago. He's now with Chicago. And Denoris Searcy, Tennessee. Klingons has Clinton Dix from the Packers and Reggie Nelson. Lost in the Sauce has Mike Adams, Indianapolis, Tavon Branch, who is now with the Chiefs, Kamal Ishmael of Atlanta, Harrison Smith of Minnesota, and Dante Whitner of Cleveland. Looking at Brian, your team, Marotti Minotaurs, have Mark Barron with St. Louis, Eric Berry, Cam Chancellor, Eric Reed, Kenny Vaccaro, and on injured reserve right now, Matt Elam. Bad break on an injury. Scott Phillips, Show Me Your TDs team, has Prince Amakamura, Bradley Fletcher, Kyle Fuller, Jason McCourty, Trey Waynes, a rookie from Minnesota. You got Rashad Johnson of Arizona and TJ Ward. Last two teams, Dream Team, Matt Blankenberg has Barry Church and Calvin Pryor. Crazy, that's my squad. Landon Collins, the rookie from the Giants who's injured. Jonathan Cyprin, Rashad Jones of Miami, and Tyron Mathau, the Audi Badger. So, guys, why don't we go ahead and, Steve, care to share? Survey says.
I'd probably put my money on Lost in Sauce. Very deep. Each guy definitely capable of scoring high up into the 200s. So I'd put him first. And then Ipswich is probably right behind him again. A lot of good guys to choose from. Good depth. Anybody on that roster is capable of scoring a good deal of points. And in third place, I'm going to toot my own horn. I like mine, even though it's not terribly deep. I've got three of arguably every year the top five defensive backs in Burnett, McDonald, and Gibson. I mean, Gibson's career season was cut in half last year, and he still scored 130-something points. So that's a lot of punch for just having three guys.
Brian, what do you got defensive backs?
Well, again, I'm trying to nail it down to if you're trying to take advantage over your opponents, and I know we're talking more like team as far as who has the best bunch of guys together, but On a strategy standpoint myself, I like to go with the safeties versus the cornerbacks. So I think that if you have, you know, stronger safeties over the corners, you're going to go ahead and be more productive, first off. Secondly, just going up and down the list here, you know, I kind of like Klingon's Ron Uranus, you know. I mean, he only has two guys there, but he has Clinton Dix and Nelson from
Cincinnati. What did you say you like, Brian? What did you say you liked?
Ha ha. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a high octane comment right there.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Man, see, now it's catchy. You said it too now. High octane offense.
And so, anyways, to go ahead and break that down, you know, you got Klingons around Uranus with Dix. So you're just getting a little wrong here. Anyway,
gonna have to
go
shut
ahead.
You off here before they take us off the air.
we were talking about Nelson
when I interrupted you, Brian, to get your thought process back.
Yeah, basically to go ahead and obviously just nail it down here real quick here. You know, Klingon's Ron Uranus was a good one. I like Dream Team. He only has a set of two guys there, but again, you're not required to start them. But, you know, when you look at the two, he has Barry Church from Dallas, Calvin Pryor with the Jets, you know, who has a lot of potential. He was a first-round draft pick a year ago. So that's what I always look at. I look at the young talent that came out of the first or second rounds of the NFL draft and see if whether they can become producers in their second and third years. So, anyways, so go ahead and continue with the talk show.
Well, let me throw out mine, guys. For me, I do have to confess that I had a hard time coming up with a top three. And the reason why is that there aren't that many teams that stood out. And the talent is really spread around. And that's a reflection of the fact that I think that DBs were the afterthoughts on defense until the rules changed just a year ago. So you filled your lineup with DBs after the linebackers. And as a result, there is no one roster with all the powerhouse DBs. It's like everybody's got two, three good ones. And despite that, we still have to pick a top three. So I started with, like Steve, Lost in the Sauce. I think they have a nice base with Harrison Smith, a very good young safety for the Vikings. Going to Brian's comment about safeties, you kind of want the more tackle-heavy position. You got Mike Adams of the Colts, who's also a safety, and Dante Whitner of Cleveland, a safety. Tavon Branch has been one of the best DBs in the league for four of the past 5 years. If he takes a starting spot with Kansas City, he's likely going to be starter worthy in our league. Ishmael of Atlanta is potentially starting, and he's definitely going to get some playing time. Just a very deep stable for Lost. Ipswich is next. They have, just checking our time, guys, about 6 minutes, so we're doing great. Ipswich is next. Solid starters such as Adegbo of Detroit. He's got Earl Thomas in Seattle, William Moore in Atlanta, Buchanan in Arizona. He's got Lewis in Baltimore. Crafty vet D'Angelo Hall, who for a cornerback has always put up good stats. Brandon Flowers of the Chargers, another starting cornerback there. Good solid players that put Andy's team, Andy Wellman's defensive back, second in my book. Just flat across the board, quality guys. Third place, I'm going to put the guy who was DBs before DBs were cool. That's the only team in Mad Dog that won a title using DBs. I'm talking about your team, Brian, the Marauding Minotaurs. Tipping my hat to you because the Minotaurs have an incredibly young and talented stable of defensive backs featuring Kenny Vaccaro, Eric Reed, Matt Elam, and Mark Barron. You toss in stud vets like Cam Chancellor and the recovering Eric Berry, and Brian's squad is third in my book. So I think there are other teams that are close, but I'm going to give the nod to the Minotaurs because they, above all teams, went hard at defensive backs from our startup auction all the way through to today. Always in the drafts, too, you've been looking at. I can't say I always remember you drafting them. I just always remember you always having a focus on defensive backs more than any other team.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate hearing that. That's a great great thing to know.
Well, what do you guys think about my comment about how we have about 5 minutes to just talk about anything that we want to talk about here with respect to defensive linemen, defensive backs? What do you guys think about my comment about how the reason why it's so evenly distributed is because that's kind of people made a beeline for the linebackers, and then they filled, aside from Brian, who was stocking up on, you know, Landry, Laron Landry, and Eric Berry, and I don't know, some of the other guys that you had back then, Brian, but I think that's why it's so spread out, where everybody's got, you know, a good 2-3 defensive backs.
Go ahead, Steve.
You know, the thing that really is shocking me as the league grows and gets older is, you know, with my team, I had Burnett and Gibson and McDonald right now, but I also had guys like Darius Webb and Earl Thomas and Buchanan. And I was actually able to turn Webb, Buchanan, and Thomas into draft picks and offensive or other defensive need talent. And, you know, when the league first started out, everybody kind of thought, oh, you know, safeties, cornerbacks, no big deal. But they're actually now bargaining chips. And it's just, it's kind of neat to see how people are actually kind of waking up to their value.
Well, absolutely. I think that I do remember that Web trade you made, by the way. It was a very good deal. But you can really, right now, they're kind of like under the radar defensive backs. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, to go ahead and break it down. I mean, I love the defensive backs, you know, strategy in the game. But recently, over the last two seasons, I have gone a little bit more towards the linebacker, just because of the fact that has freed up with the changing the scoring rules, that has freed up some of the talent pool in the linebackers to go ahead and grab that talent for myself. So. Only time will tell to see whether I made the right choice by switching gears.
I didn't have time to do it, but I almost wanted to, while you guys were talking, to quick click over to the drafts and see. I know I drafted Landon Collins in the third pick of the second round, and I wonder if a defensive back had gone higher than that in prior drafts. So I'm going to, as we kind of wind down the show here, just click a couple more seasons and see if that actually happened, because I don't know if basically my point being that after the rule change, they are more valuable, and that's reflecting itself in people's drafting habits. You know, they're going higher. I think Harrison Smith in one of the early drafts went all the way down to like the fourth round, and he was one of the top defensive backs out there. So,
well, you know, and like I was saying, you know, back in 2013 when I traded away Ladarius Webb, I think I got like a fourth round pick for him. But just this last year, I was able to trade Earl Thomas and Doug Baldwin, and I don't think Doug Baldwin very fit into the dynamics of the trade much. It was pretty much Earl Thomas for a second round pick. So yeah, they're definitely becoming players now, and I think it's a good thing for the league.
And I did just figure out that going back to our first draft ever, I said, Brian, your team was the first guy on it. You're basically the only guy that had ever taken a defensive back in the second round. You took Mark Barron with the sixth pick in the second round back in 2012. There were only two defensive backs taken in that entire draft. Harrison Smith was the second defensive back taken by Gar's team. And then you go year by year. You know, usually defensive backs weren't taken until the third, fourth round. In 2013, Brian, your team again took a defensive back first before anyone else. In the 12th pick of the third round, you took Kenny Vaccaro. So, and then there were three defensive backs taken fourth round. So, I mean, it just is kind of showing you that it's been a transition. It's been a total change in the way people view that position, you know. So, going into this year, I will end the conversation simply by saying that this year, two defensive backs taken, Landon Collins in the third pick of the second round. It wasn't really a strong defensive back class, but we did have our defensive back go the highest it's ever gone in league history. But, guys, about 20 seconds left. I do want to stop and wrap this up. Thank you very much. We're just about out of time here. Thanks big time to Steve Wellman and Brian Koch for joining us today. Everybody out there, look for part 7 of the Best series, where we're going to dive into the final position in this linebacker position. Until then, and on behalf of my co-host today, I am Rick Goreski. We're going to wrap it up with a little bit of ZZ Top. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.